Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us for this Thursday morning. Let's get to it and go around and introduce everybody, and then we'll get to the body of the show. We welcome your letters, of course, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Vera Carius-Kelly is with us, and we are thrilled. She, of course, is a professor of comparative politics at Siena College in Loudonville, New York. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Bonjour, tout le monde. Ça va?
Tout le monde.
Whoa. I figured I'll internationalize
today.
Well,
I was just going to say, you just set the bar for the other three I've introduced, but okay, that's good. Robert Griffin is here. He's founding dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the Albany University at Albany.
I lower the bar, but I have a really long title name, so that's good.
That is.
Joe, if I could shout out to all the 4,900 graduates of the University of Albany this week, I'd like to do that. Congratulations, Great Danes, and to all the graduates in the region.
Well done.
And that is, congratulations to them. A nice class, and they're out, and they had all the ceremonies have taken place?
They are taking place last night and tonight and all through the weekend. So
nice.
If anybody's around the campus, it's going to be a great weekend.
Very good. Judy Patrick is with us as well, Vice President for Editorial Development at the New York Press Association, longtime editor of the Daily Gazette. Good morning.
Howdy.
How?
Keep it simple.
I believe that's French, too. WAMC's Alan Chardak. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Joe. Yesterday was our community advisory board meeting. It was great fun, and you were the star. And want to point out a couple of things that is going on right now, and that is we are now, and I'm trembling in my sneakers as I say this, only 2.5 weeks away from our June fund drive. We have to raise substantially over $300,000 in those in the remaining 2.5 weeks. It begins on Monday, June 3rd. And we have to fill the lockbox before then. So our wonderful Amber Sickles came and said, "Boss, I think I can help you a little bit here. What we're going to do is we got some wonderful tickets. We got 25 pairs of tickets to WAMC night at SPAC. The lockbox is open. The goal is $500,000. So we have $121,000 in the lockbox now. It's WAMC.org or 1-800-323-9262. I say that with passion. I say that with fear because I'm afraid. We can't afford to lose this. So the pair of tickets to SPAC, it's an amphitheater seating, $100 pledge for a pair, New York City Ballet or the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I know there's more information about this, Joe. Maybe you could add or maybe not.
Sure. We have two nights that we're doing this. Thursday is July 18th, and that is a WAMC night for the ballet. They will be performing Capella in the amphitheater, and you will be there as well.
And Joe, what's that night again?
It's Thursday, July 18th at 8 o'clock, and that's WAMC night at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
And we only have 25 pairs of those tickets.
For the New York City Ballet. Now, for the Philadelphia Orchestra, for Thursday, August 15th at 8 o'clock, the WAMC night for the orchestra is Thursday night, August 15th at 8 o'clock, and it will be the Philadelphia Orchestra with the one and only Wynton Marsalis.
Oh, wow.
That'll
That's
be
fantastic.
Really cool. He'll be having the Marsalis Swing Symphony happening at the in the shed at SPAC. So it's the Philadelphia Orchestra WAMC night is on Thursday, the 15th of August. The ballet WAMC night is on Thursday, the 18th of July. We have 25 pairs for each of those shows. Indoor amphitheater seats, beautiful seating, and we'll be there too. WAMC will be on campus at that point, so it'll be fun. And all you have to do is, Alan's right, we only have 25 pairs for each performance. Those will hopefully go very quickly.
Well, that's one way of putting it. There's another way of putting it. Don't be calling me up and telling me you want one because you gave money before. You have to do it now. 1-800-323-9262.
Or that.
1-800-323-9262. These are going to be going fast. We all know it. This is SPAC, folks, and this is one of the great performing venues in the world, let alone in our area. 1-800-323-9262. And when they're gone, they're gone. I'm going to ask Amber to come running in when they're all done. Okay, Joe.
Okay. So again, Philadelphia Orchestra, it's so look at your calendars and see what you have on that date and then cancel it and then put us in there. It's Thursday, the 15th of August for the Philadelphia Orchestra and Wynton Marsalis. It is Thursday, the 18th of July at 8 o'clock for the ballet, New York City Ballet performing Coppelia. So two of their most popular performances that are happening throughout the summer season. And, of course, you can find out more about the programs by going to SPAC.org and, of course, on our website as well. So there you go.
Then one more time, 1-800-323-9262. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
All right. No, WAMC.org. Yep. All right. Here we go. Let's start off with what we've got going on today and a lot happening. So we'll begin by talking about, well, you know, we can also go to a conversation that we started with yesterday that we can continue. We were talking about the abortion bill in Alabama yesterday, and we were questioning as to whether the governor of Alabama would sign. The governor of Alabama has signed that bill. So now, where does this go from here? Abortion rights are at risk at the Supreme Court, but the short-term threat may not come from extreme measures like the one passed by Alabama lawmakers. The court led by Chief Justice John Roberts is more likely to chip away at the constitutional right to abortion established in 1973 in Roe v. Wade than to overturn it outright. It will have plenty of opportunities to do so. As soon as Monday, the court could announce whether it will hear challenges to three provisions of Indiana abortion laws on issues like the disposal of fetal remains and an 18-hour waiting period after state-mandated ultrasound examinations. The court will, in the coming months, almost certainly agree to hear a challenge to Louisiana law that could reduce the number of abortion clinics in the state to just one. The Alabama bill signed into law on Wednesday is a different kind of measure, one that squarely conflicts with Roe. It would ban almost all abortions in the state without exceptions of rape or incest and subject abortion providers to harsh criminal penalties. But the Roberts Court tends toward incrementalization. It is not likely to want to take on a direct confrontation with that precedent. Who would like to go first?
So we talk about this law being an attack on women, and certainly it is an attack on women, but I would argue that it's more an attack on poor women because women of means will be able to travel circumvent these new laws, but poor women are the ones who will be suffering most if this is implemented. And of course, this is just being done. In Alabama, they don't really expect this law to ever be implemented. They're just trying to challenge the Supreme Court. I should note that this, you know, desire to stick with precedent is very questionable with this decision earlier this week about one state suing another in another court where they clearly overrule precedent. And Justice Breyer was the one who said, what's going to happen next when it comes to, you know, precedent is no longer sacrosanct and it is easily overturned. So let's watch out.
So I think, I completely agree with you, Judy. The message is very strong to rural women, poor women, women without means. You basically, in Alabama, are now considered a birthing vessel. You don't have control over your own body. You are being legislated. Your womb is being legislated. And it is so interesting to see the panel of male representatives that voted in favor of this measure.
35 members, only four women, and the governor.
It's pretty incredible, right? But here's the thing. It's really not going to be decided on, as you said. What this is a salvo to divide into the voting public to divide those in the country that are strict supporters of access to abortion clinics from other voters and make this one of the premier wedge issues for the upcoming presidential elections.
Well, you know, I was watching all the news reports, and it's so funny how the sort of worst part of this rises to the top on all stations, including Fox, by the way, in which we hear that a 12-year-old who was raped by an uncle or a father would be forced. And you are so, you guys are so right about, you can't afford to get on a plane if you're 12 years old, and especially if your parents are going to frankly beat the hell out of you if you don't do this thing.
Can I just interject one other thing?
Sure.
That's not even to mention the back alley options that are, of course, dangerous and scary as hell.
Well, yeah, but the thing that rises to the top that gets into everybody's mind is that a victim of rape and incest is not eligible to have an abortion. I saw one of those characters who you were just talking about, the sponsors, standing up and saying, well, if a woman does it in the first 6 days and obviously knows they've been pregnant, why? Because they've had intercourse. I suppose that's what this is all about. In the first 6 days, they can still have an abortion. That kind of that rank hypocrisy is just disgusting. And the fact that they even have the ability to, because how many people get pregnant and don't even know it for quite a while? I mean, the whole thing is just, and so to say, well, they know that it's not going to ever really become law. Hey, we've had examples of when people knew something wasn't going to happen when it did happen.
Well, it is the law in Alabama, so that idea of it not becoming law is a false position. You know, when I look at it, it strikes me as that this is the American style Sharia law. That, you know,
it is.
And I think part of the conversation we should all be having is what comes next. Are contraceptives next? Mm-hmm. I mean, how far do you want government into your bedroom? And there's you use the word hypocrisy. I wish the lawmakers in Alabama had the same concern for the immigrant babies that they do for fetuses. And you start to see these juxtaposed against each other, and you say, where truly is your morality?
I was curious last night. It was a little harder to find than I thought it would be, but I did find it, which was the actual number of abortions performed in the state of Alabama on a yearly basis. It's about 6,000. Mm-hmm. So the governor in signing the bill invoked God, and that in and of itself mm-hmm. is problematic/scary.
It is, because in essence, what we're using is religious perceptions to run policy in this country. And I so agree with your analysis of establishing a parallel with ISIS, because it is not about women making choices. It is about politicians choosing what ought to be done with a woman, or in your case, Ellen, a 12-year-old girl's body. So women, in essence, are not, it's not even in some ways a discussion about morality. It is also, in addition to that, equal rights. Do women have equal rights to make certain choices mm-hmm. over their bodies? I mean, I really want to know, what kind of law do we have in any state that legislates the male body in such a way or in a similar way?
You know, the thing I treasure about having you on the show, Vera, is the idea that as a comparativist, somebody who can compare various states and cultures, you know, I this business about Alabama should be allowed to do what it wants because it's Alabama and because it's a separate state and therefore it can do what it wants is so interesting to me. You know, when I worked in Congress as a graduate intern all those years ago, my favorite guy was from Huntsville. He was a judge, a former judge, and he had very good instincts. And Wallace was the governor. Mm-hmm. And when the Civil Rights Bill was out, this guy went and hid in our office. our friend, he went and hid in our office. And the Wallace people were furious with him because he wouldn't adhere to this, you know, sense of what Alabama people wanted. He knew what was right. They knew what was right. It was all about electoral politics. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm.
And I wished Alabama would focus as much energy on improving its educational standard as it does on restricting women's rights.
You know, the last, it seemed like just last week we were talking about partial birth abortion.
Right.
And this, you know, the president was telling these terrible tales about babies being born and the mother and the doctor deciding to murder it, and which was such an egregious mistruth.
Lying.
But now the debate has become whether or not this country will allow abortions at all. That really seemed like a dramatic shift, and I sometimes wonder who's playing with the public perception of what's happening.
Well, you say that, but of course, very quickly, New York, of course, is a place that has already anticipated what you're saying, Judy, and has set it up. And in this case, states' rights, I suppose, protects the women of New York.
Yes. And both Vermont and
so women in New York and Vermont and various other states will likely be called upon to donate money so that women from Alabama can leave the state and access services in New York.
When we come back, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I would also like to talk about the impact of this on the presidential election. Democratic candidates, of course, erupted over this. The Republicans have been largely silent. The president has been so far completely silent on this matter. I know Senator Gillibrand announced today that she is going to Georgia and is going to have a major event in Georgia. I think the only candidate so far to announce that, but making that direct connection. So we'll talk about the political implications of this when we come back. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we'll return right after this. Well, you know, we're here in the confines of our little studio, and so all we do is yell out the phone number and tell people to call. And then outside these walls, the poor people in the front office have to actually answer all the calls. So we just checked in to see, and apparently it erupted, which is wonderful. That is great news. We can report that the ballet tickets, remember, all of this being done for the Lockbox. This is a premium for the Lockbox to prime the pump, if you will, to get to our $500,000 before we begin the fund drive on June 3rd. We were offering tickets to the New York City Ballet at SPAC and also to the Philadelphia Orchestra for specific nights for WAMC night. The ballet tickets are gone, we found out. But there are still tickets, not a lot, for the Philadelphia Orchestra WAMC night with Wynton Marsalis and the Swing Symphony. So that is...
greatest trumpet player in the world.
He is amazing. Thursday, August 15th at 8 o'clock. It's WAMC night. And so the lines are lighting up. If you want your turn, I would say go online, but I think you're probably better off calling to make sure to ensure that you actually have a pair of tickets to get a sticker on your form. So that number would be 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. And as Alan tells us many, many times, while these things are wonderful, it isn't about the stuff. It is about the importance of doing this for our radio station.
Yep. And we have to fill up that lockbox. So, you know, anything we can do for you, if you want one of our premiums, call and get a premium. That's why we have them.
What do you say if you want a piece of fish? You have a piece of fish.
We'll give you a piece of fish. You want a piece of meat? We'll give you a piece of meat. That's right. And that comes from a place in Great Barrington. It's no longer there, in which the guy came out and said, I said, where's the menu? He said, what do you want? I said, what do you mean, what do you want? You want a piece of fish? We'll give you a piece of fish.
So that's what we do. Yeah. So if you want a T-shirt, we'll give you a T-shirt. You want tickets to the orchestra, we'll give you tickets to the orchestra.
Okay. Virginia wrote and said, the future can be seen. If anyone is wondering where the nation could go following the abortion law in Alabama, just Netflix The Handmaid's Tale.
Yep.
Yes, Alan, in Gilead, a class of women is considered nothing more than breeders. Dystopian fiction or just logical extensions of events occurring now? Virginia from Clifton Park. But I didn't get this part where it says, yes, Alan, in Gilead. What do you mean, yes, Alan? Okay, you know, nobody is more angry about all of this than I am.
And I think they may have been agreeing with you.
Yes.
I think they were agreeing with you.
Yes. They're agreeing with our discussion.
You were saying earlier about whatever.
You're so angry you didn't realize they supported you.
No, no. No need, as my mom would have said, no need to take a tone. Okay. And then Jim from Albany writes, the majority white women voted for Trump. The majority of them voted for the Republican presidential nominee every time except twice since 1952. 63% of them voted for Roy Moore Jr. The person who signed this law in Alabama who could have vetoed is a white woman. Stop pointing fingers and look in the mirror. What? Is there some way I could have not taken offense at this letter?
No. That one you can take offense.
I also mentioned education as an issue in parts
Alabama.
Of the country. In Alabama in particular. Yeah, I think we should emphasize a little bit of knowledge about the history of this country and experiences of women, and maybe then we could have a slightly more engaged.
And thank you, Jim. Thank you, mm-hmm. Jim, get it, from Albany, writing about what women were doing in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Keith said, this is why women were crying on election night. Women warned us. The abortion issue is one of the main reasons why women were crying election night in 2016. It feels 1950 all over again, the racism, misogyny, and hate groups out in the open. History is a flat circle. This is not great again. America would be much better off with more women in politics. Too many white males like myself making decisions about others' futures. And that's from Keith. Thank you, Keith.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can remember a lot of people being concerned about this when mm-hmm. the Kavanaugh hearings were going on. Yeah. And I thought to myself, no. He says he will abide by precedent. And I was clearly naive because this discussion has really heated up. And
yeah, we have everybody who said this is, you're right, Judy, who was interviewed saying this was red letter law and that it couldn't be reversed. So what we know is there'll always be something probably like the ability to have an abortion, except it'll be so watered down that they'll have their way.
Yeah, it'll be access denial, all kinds of limitations. But I also wanted to make mention that there are a lot of males that are allies, that men that are friends who are allies who help and support women's rights and women's equality and women's access.
You bet. You're exactly right.
They better, because if you take rights away from one class, your rights are going to go as well. Uh-huh. And this is a slippery slope.
Regular letter Bob from Albany. Letter writer, for me, the proof of abortion opponents' rank hypocrisy is that they also rail and legislate against sex education, contraception, and the availability of morning after contraception disruption drugs. Their overarching goal is to stifle women's sexuality across the board, which is right in line with fundamentalist Christian doctrine. And that's from Bob.
Well, it's also in line with the sort of the ISIS kind of thinking, because, you know, you want to cover the woman's body. You want to blame her for, male conduct, because males are tempted by women. Women as temptress is a long sort of theme used by kinds of fundamentalist religious groups in all areas.
Yes, and it's not only Christians. You're quite right. Uh-huh. Right. Vince from Kingston says, I'm just curious how the new Alabama law would affect the abortion pill that is now sold in pharmacies. Have a wonderful day. Anybody know about that? I have not seen any reference.
Well, it's very difficult in some states to even access it, because pharmacists appear to have the right to deny certain medications to patients or customers based on their own personal moral or ethical standing.
How does that stand with, by the way, all the tickets are gone. I just want to quickly, they're all gone. If you work for a chain drugstore, if the drugstore has a policy that says we will sell that, if the individual druggist and pharmacist is against it, can they deny it? I don't know how that works.
So apparently it depends on the state you work in.
Okay.
That's as far as I understood it. So moral standing, or sort of your religious arguments, work in some states and other states that don't.
But people who are pro-life do not like this morning after pill. I mean, if they had their druthers, they would outlaw the morning after pill as well.
And they've tried very vigorously to do so.
Uh-huh. So it's also fascinating that when we talk about this issue, there is, I talked about this right before mm-hmm. we went to break, but the political nature of it. I mentioned Kirsten Gillibrand is one candidate who is going to Georgia today to actually be isn't this an issue that for Democrats that if they want to, we were talking about yesterday that Democrats have often failed instead of getting caught up in the diversion of the moment, that they fail to scream from the mountaintops about what is happening. Isn't this a perfect example of something where they should be screaming from the mountaintops about what's happening?
Well, you know, I think the GOP hopes that they do, because if you think about it, despite the supposed roaring economy, I don't think it's helped most people. And because the stock market is up, that doesn't help most of us. Our foreign policy is in tatters. There's mistake after mistake in policy decisions by this administration. You look at the moral turpitude of the administration itself, and all of a sudden you have an issue that will coalesce the base to forget all of the problems that have been created by this administration because of this one, just for this one issue. So actually, it's a very strategic decision. I think the timing is perfect if you're looking for a re-election of the current administration.
You have to wonder what the Republican thinking on this is. The most Republican politicians have been fairly quiet in the last 24 hours or the last 48 hours about what's happening in Alabama. But because clearly there are certain parts of the abortion debate which Republicans will adhere to and use to gather mm-hmm. votes. But this one thing they tend to be backing off. Maybe the Alabama legislature is just a wild card acting on its mm-hmm. own, trying to see what will work.
Yeah, because the whole question about not protecting women after rape or incest, if they want to have access, also the
penalties.
The penalties for physicians. The penalties that the
physician would be penalized harsher than the rapist would.
Yeah. I mean, it's disturbing.
I mean, that's really concerning.
Because you know, really, when you're a physician, you assess the situation of your patient, and some patients might have, a medical need for an abortion. And so as a physician now, you have to choose between your own future and the possibility that somebody will review the case and decide differently from you. So you have to decide as a physician between your own future, your ability to practice medicine, and the potential punishment to go to jail versus your patient's welfare. Now, what a hideous reality.
We're going to take a break. I will just note that trending in the hashtag, the top trending hashtag this morning is Talabama.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I just want to say, Joe, that we really need everybody on the lockbox. We're not going to make it without you. Please, we'd love to offer you a premium, but just give us a call, 1-800.
The tickets are gone, right?
Yeah, 323-9262. Yeah.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have Vera Carius Kelly, Robert Griffin, Judy Patrick, and Alan Chartok, who has some news.
I do. We gave out all of those tickets to those two two SPAC nights. And now we have something on the table, which we have arranged to keep it going. Frankly, folks, you all know that this is such a crucial time that if we don't do it now, we're really going to be sitting here forever, and we don't want that because our news is so important. We've got to get it. The panel is so important. You're hearing it now. We're discussing the major events of the day. So anything you can do now would be appreciated. We're going to give away the store. I'm sorry to do this, but I just want to make sure that we get everything done as fast as we possibly can, because as we grow, Joe, as you know, and we've talked about this many times, as we get closer to that $500,000 we need, we get the so-called whoosh factor. It's when everybody sees it's getting close, they all jump in. So we're doing everything to prime the pump we can. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm doing something that is probably ill-advised, which is if you pledge $100 now, you can have, and by the way, this costs us a lot of money, you can have the WAMC picnic blanket. It's beautiful. It's tartan. And it is the right thing to be sitting on, whether you live in Great Barrington or Greenwich or wherever you are, or you've got a Tanglewood or got a SPAC. It's a great thing. But wait, there's more. We're not only going to give you the picnic blanket, we're going to give you the insulated tumblers. The insulated tumblers. Joe, hold that up so everybody can see it on the, if you can. There it is. Very nice. And
oh, you could put wine in there even.
I think that's maybe what it's intended for.
I think maybe that was in the design model.
That's funny. Well, anyway, you got the beautiful, which is engrossed and in whatever, with WAMC on it. And people will come up to you and say, "Oh, I didn't know you liked WAMC." And 2 weeks later, you'll be married. Anyway, it is an extraordinary combination. But by the way, ladies and gentlemen, only until the end of the show, which is at 10:30 of the panel. So if you want both of those, you want to get in on it, now's the time to do it. We really need you badly.
So 40 minutes. You have 40 minutes to do this.
That's all. And you saw, by the way, we're still getting calls for the other stuff, but they're gone. So I hope you all learned your lesson.
Thank you for your support.
I know. Yes. It's just...
picnic blanket, two tumblers, $100, and call now 1-800-323-9262. And you can do this online too. If it is not on the drop down menu, just put it in your notes and we will make sure that you get the blanket and tumblers. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. All right, Alan, you got more letters.
Okay, more letters. Dear panel, I'm a bleeding heart liberal and pro-choice, but we feed into the frenzy and the divisiveness over the abortion issue. We should acknowledge that elections have consequences. The, quote, good people of Alabama elected and support their legislators. Yes, good people will suffer from this kind of law, but we continue to boost the radical right over this issue. Could we just let them have it and see where it leads? Let the courts do their thing. Steve from Amherst, we so appreciate your letter, but absolutely, my answer would be absolutely not. We're not going to just let them have it.
No.
What about that 12-year-old, Steve? What about the 12-year-old who has to take a pregnancy to full term because her uncle raped her? Please.
I mean, it's just a question of not responding to it. It's just, it reminds me too much of appeasement and just giving breathing room and space for increasingly hateful and controlling people to operate and gain control. There is a need for pushback, and it has to be a hard pushback. And I think what's interesting to me is that somebody like Gillibrand is going to Alabama to speak because that's her, you know, area of expertise, and the language she will use will be very helpful, I think, for wider audience to understand. Now, she might be a fighting soldier on that particular issue for the Democrats. She has basically no chance to become a presidential candidate, but that's her battleground, and so I'm very happy she's going down to Alabama to speak on this issue. I don't think some of the more highly ranked, or at least in the polling, more strongly supported Democratic candidates would be as good as being as she would be as a spokesperson on that particular issue. So I think it's a very clever strategic choice for her to go.
Well, I agree with that last part, especially. 1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number if you want to get the blanket and the tumblers. You won't see anything like this again, I promise you. 1-800-323-9262. And by the way, only while they last. Stephen writes...
Alan, before we go off of Steve, though, silence is concurrence. And if
you
politicians
bet.
Don't understand how outraged the rest of us are over the policies they pass, they will continue to pass worse and worse policies because they will only be speaking to the base. The way you stop that is by taking a hard line and saying this is not acceptable to us.
Stephen writes, the most effective way to reduce abortion is to offer low-cost and comprehensive birth control. This is no-go in our prudish society because it acknowledges an assertive female sexuality. For the right, abstinence is the only solution. Steve.
Well, you know, I think there's something to that argument. In addition to that, I wanted to point out birth rates in this country are going down.
Declining.
And in that sense, this kind of a posturing that we see from Alabama in this larger political climate also indicates that there's a preference for having an increase in the domestic birth rate rather than emphasizing the arrival of immigrants or, you know, especially the browning of immigrants to this country. Because in essence, in a few years, we will be experiencing a shortage of labor, and then it is likely going to be brown-skinned and an increase of brown-skinned immigrants. And so I would put this entire position in Alabama into the larger context of immigration as well.
Alan from Kingston writes, good morning, panel. Alan's right. Joe Biden told an interviewer in 1974 that a woman shouldn't have the sole right to say what should happen to her body. Although his position has matured, I agree with Alan that we need to vote for Bernie Sanders, who has always been on the right side of the issue, including climate change and civil rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be very clear on what I said and what I have never endorsed the guy, Bernie. I said I was voting for him then. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll do that this time. Be honest with you, I haven't decided yet, but I think beating Trump is so important. Mm-hmm. And so while I can understand Alan's confusion on the issue about this, Alan, that's the way it is. Carolyn says, Alabama, dear panel, who are we kidding? Taking us back to the 1950s is what MEGA was all about. Keep up the good work, Caroline.
Yep. That is true.
And Neil said, abortion. How hypocritical is it that the Republican Party claims to be the party of personal liberty and small government? The government can't regulate my guns, but they sure can tell women what they can do with their bodies. Neil from Wendell, Massachusetts. Good for you.
Yes, it's the personal liberty of men.
Good
apparently.
For you, Neil. And Anne says, abortion, other thoughts, and unfortunate consequences of outlawing abortion will be a certain number of babies who wind up being abused, neglected, battered, and possibly murdered because they were not wanted. I don't see the conservative right stepping forward to propose full financial and familial responsibility for children born into such sad circumstances. That's Anne from Cambridge.
Yeah, and when you're worried about the first 9 months and not the next 90 years, it does create a huge problem.
Jonathan says, pharmacist here, it is true that state laws vary, but Trump has recently stated that he is allowing, parenthesis, protecting, in his terms, medical providers to act accordingly with their conscience. Yes. That would allow more pharmacists to turn away customers who seek the abortion pill. However, every claim chain that I know of has policies that state the pharmacist must refer the customer to another pharmacy that will dispense the pill. And that's from Jonathan of RPH of Valley Falls, New York. And did anybody ever get to answer the question as to whether you can order online?
No, but I don't know that, but I'm very helpful. I find this response very helpful. So deep appreciation to our pharmacist
yes.
For sending this information. Very important to know. Thank you.
Yeah. And John says, let's call pro-life what it is, their pregnancy fetish, not pro-life. These men get off seeing women forced to go through a pregnancy and suffer. So this really is a non-consensual pregnancy fetish. Let's call it what it is. And John says, abortion. Good morning, panel. If I'm driving my car and rear-end another motorist, it's not the other motorist's fault. I should have been paying attention. I should have good brakes, etc. If you have consensual relations without protection, which is not expensive, by the way, the fault of your pregnancy lies with you, not with your unborn child. Alan,
I'm sorry. I'm still working through that.
I didn't quite get it either.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I understand the issue of personal responsibility, but at the same time, we're talking about the government's intrusion into your body. So I think that analogy doesn't work.
But I mean, we have all kinds of regulations for safety in cars. We regulate seat belts. We regulate, all kinds of insurance questions. Now, this comparison doesn't seem to stand to me. I don't understand it either.
Yeah. And the government then isn't also telling you that you need to keep that car for the rest of your life and take care of that car after you got into that accident. I mean, there are lots of issues there with that.
Yeah. Alan says, panel, Alabama is ranked number 6 in the nation in death sentences per capita. Joe, go through what we're offering again. Can you do that?
Sure. We have a picnic blanket. It is tartan. It has the WAMC logo on it. And if you fold it up correctly, and good luck with that. If you fold it up correctly, it goes like a little briefcase, little mini briefcase, and you can bring it in to a venue of your choice if you're going to go out on the lawn. So this would be for SPAC or for Tanglewood. If you're a lawn person or would like to just spend a portion of your evening on the lawn, this would be a beautiful blanket to do that with. And in addition, if you don't just want to sit on a blanket and one perhaps would love a lovely beverage, we have 2 WAMC stainless steel tumblers, WAMC tumblers, and they are beautiful. They are very, you know, if in the future, these things could go for $95 million.
Sure.
They look a little bit like that rabbit.
They look like the rabbit, don't they?
Yes.
Anyway, if you get 2 of them and you get two of those and the blanket, $100, and that is only for the next 30 minutes.
You know, it's a little bit like a sippy cup, too, now that I look at it.
Yes.
Closer. So for wine or for milk for your 2-year-old.
An adult sippy cup. That's right. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on the program, and we appreciate you being with us. 1-800-323-9262. We still have the blanket and the tumblers going at least for another 24 minutes or so. We welcome your phone calls on that front. 1-800-323-9262. And again, for the next 23 minutes or so. Let's move on. This is related and yet not related, but I didn't know. So I was having dinner with a friend last night, and they told me that they were having an event that they were doing that was canceled next week in Dayton, Ohio. And I said, oh, why was it canceled? And they said, because of a Klan rally. And I said, I'm sorry, I did not know there was going to be a Klan rally in Dayton, Ohio. So then I went on and started to look at this, and then I found some articles about it. There isn't a lot, but the Chicago Tribune did do an article. And this, to me, is just quite extraordinary of where we are right now in calendar year 2019. So Dayton, Ohio sued a Ku Klux Klan group that wanted to have a rally. Now the rally is going ahead with the courts okay. So the group went to the city of Dayton, and now they have agreed on the rules for a rally that is planned for May 25th. The Honorable Sacred Knights, who they are based in Indiana, went into Dayton and filed a lawsuit in March. So Dayton said there was a danger to the community if this group held a parliamentary-type rally. Dayton City Attorney on Monday announced that a court-approved consent decree settling the lawsuit, the agree prevents the group from wearing paramilitary or tactical gear and carrying assault rifles, bats, or shields. The group's members also won't carry flamethrowers or knives. These were the concessions that were made, by the way. They can carry certain firearms with permits, and they can cover their faces. The city's primary goal is keeping our residents safe while this rally occurs. According to Barbara Dossick, who is the city attorney of Dayton, the agreement does not mean that we accept their hateful views or that their presence is supported by our leadership, our community, or our residents. The group wrote in an email Monday that it has never worn tactical gear or used flamethrowers and never acted or dressed in paramilitary fashion. The only weapons we will have are sidearms, the group wrote. Dossick said that under the consent decree, the group will not incite any violence against our residents or solicit violence during the rally. What could go wrong? Robert.
Well, just in case anybody's confused, it's the paramilitary, not parliamentary, because when we said parliamentary a second ago, and I was chuckling thinking about them all lining up and having debate and order. If anybody watches Prime Minister Time, language matters, and when the President of the United States comes out and says there's good people on both sides, he empowers behavior in people that this country has worked really hard to isolate and show that they are incorrect and anathema to our overall values. They have a constitutional right. There's a freedom of speech right. I appreciate that. My challenge to them is show your face. If you really believe this and you're exercising your constitutional right, you don't need to have a hood over your face. Show us who you are. You know, you don't need to be a coward hiding behind a mask. This is a trend that I think we all need to be cognizant of. And one of my fears is that, you know, we talked a little bit earlier ago about politicians and having to push back when bad policies made or bad comments are made, and I think as a people and community, it's time for politicians to be who are more afraid of Trump right now to be afraid of us, the people, and I think this is a clarion call for a peaceful movement that shows that we're not going to stand for this type of behavior. This is not what this country is about.
And what's really interesting to me, I think I exactly agree with you, this sort of, you know, the idea that you mask yourself so you can't be identified, it goes directly back to what happened in the aftermath of the Charlottesville situation, because businesses identified and universities identified based on the images of who the participants, who the participants were in this rally, and since businesses have a right or universities have a right to identify whether a member of their organization shares the values espoused by that organization or university, they expelled or fired people. It's all about hiding behind that mask and having this sort of attitude, yet wanting to be part of other organizations whose values might not overlap with the neo-Nazis. So I find it really repulsive as well that these people are now trying to hide behind these masks.
Yeah, the concept of free speech is a very difficult one when it's hateful speech that you know, you don't agree with. And so, but our Constitution does allow for hateful speech. But I agree that you have to stand up and say this should not be normalized. This should not. We need to speak up that this is not right.
So how do we? And then we already have heard word that there would be counter demonstrations. So how do you prevent this from being another Charlottesville? How do you prevent this? Whether with both sides saying we're not looking to be violent, okay, but you're still you're marching, you're saying hateful things, and at least half of you will have guns. So how do you prevent that and still allow for the free speech that you
mentioned?
That's
a security challenge, isn't
it really is. And first you've got to tip your hat to the government in Dayton for everything that they tried to do to ameliorate the situation. This is not something that Dayton was looking for. They're not looking to put their local tax money into having to protect these people, and I'm sure this is going to have a huge impact, and there's going to be a reduction in services in Dayton in the future because of this event. There are a couple things you can do. One is you can support and listen to the direction that the police and emergency officials are going to give you about, you know, where you can be and where you shouldn't be. In part, if you starve them of attention, you're taking away a lot of the fuel of their event. So have a counter protest that's somewhere else, but 10 times larger. You know, don't give them the type of emotional response that they're looking for. They're poking at society. They're pushing. They're looking for a response. Don't give it to them.
Yeah, I think, and also, you know, you're so right. In evaluating who they are, there'll always be people who say, well, free speech, both sides. But take a look at what the Klan did in this country and who they were, and strange fruit and people hanging from trees as a result of it. That's whose message they're carrying on.
And it's not just African Americans or the black community. The Klan stands against the Jewish community. They stand against Roman Catholicism. I mean, take a look. If you question whether this is going to, you know, whether this is a peaceful dogma, it is not.
And notice the Klan is opposed to equal rights for women, too. The Klan generally insists that women are subordinate to men. And we go back to that larger argument. It is all about having a very clear hierarchy. Who's on the top? Namely, you know, members of the Klan, a specific order in terms of the kind of male power, white male power, and everybody else is subordinate to that structure.
So we'll see what. We'll ultimately see what happens at this rally next. Well, it's not be next Saturday, right? Week from.
Joe, if I could, I'd just like to read one letter here from our friend Ruth Ellen. Actually, Ruth Ellen Blodgett, who is a leader in the Planned Parenthood group, who said, "Please be clear. The over-the-counter morning-after pill is not, in capital letters, an abortion pill. It is a contraceptive medication that prevents pregnancy should you have unprotected sex. It is often referred to as Plan B. Medication abortion, parenthesis, with pills, must be provided under the direction of a medical provider."
That is exactly right. Yes. That is exactly right. And this Plan B medication is available in many countries. Just you walk into a pharmacy and get it.
Yes, but what it was so interesting about this is that once you say it has to be done under a physician, then you bring the physician under the umbrella of the 99-year sentence. That's the problem here.
It is, and you know, we had a conversation a little bit earlier about, you know, after Roe v. Wade, I mean, what happens with Griswold versus Connecticut, which established the you know, our right to basically be left alone, but also the right to contraceptives.
Mm-hmm. You know, isn't it interesting that nobody's proposing that the women who get abortions go to jail for 99 years?
Right.
Because that would prove immensely unpopular.
I think. That's why they took that off the table. Obviously, you can just see these guys sitting around trying to figure out how they're going to get the best political push that they possibly can here. So, okay, no, not the women, but the doctors, and let alone, we've all suggested here today, what the women are going to be forced to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So there's punishment, all right.
So women are victims when it's politically convenient to this particular legal argument coming out of Alabama, but women in general are, you know, silenced in terms of discussing the control of their own bodies. That's how it is.
All right. Well, we have more letters. We'll finish out with those.
Okay. We heard from Katie. Reducing the need for abortions. I personally know women who have had abortions. They have never been emotionally the same, suffering for years. Typical. In each case, it was the man that forced them into it, men that are no longer with them. For 2 days, men on the panel cheering for abortion. On it goes with men. Original. Now all uncles are rapists. Self-assured women are warned crying after the election. I am going to say that I reject this letter. I'm glad you wrote it because it just shows you're there. But, you know, from my point of view, it's ridiculous to take this attitude.
Anyway. So, yeah, if I could push back on the letter as well, I'm not cheering for abortion. What I'm cheering for is a woman's right to make a decision on her body. That's not a decision that I should make. It's not a decision that whoever wrote the letter should make. It's a decision that that woman should make in consultation with the people that she feels most comfortable with. So if anything, what I'm cheering for is your individual liberties in order to protect and defend the sanctity of your own body. That's what I'm cheering for.
We heard from Josh from Woodstock, who says, "Dearest panel, less abortions lead to more unwanted babies whom are neglected and leads to more criminals, which leads to higher crime rates and more incarceration. You folks rule." Josh from Woodstock. Maybe I'll just pause for a moment to say the phones are ringing like crazy here. and you only have a couple of seconds before this offer is withdrawn. And Joe, let us remember what it is.
Sure. So you get the cool WAMC picnic blanket, and it is a plaid, a tartan plaid, I would say.
Green and navy blue.
Thank you very much. And our listeners want to know. And it has a our logo on it, and it has a nice carrying case that you can figure out how to fold it up so that carrying case works. And then it also comes with two aluminum vessels.
Tumblers.
Thank you very much.
You're
that
welcome.
Was the word I was going for. With the WAMC logo. So that's $100. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org.
Carl writes, folks, how about not challenging the laws enacted by George Olivera at all? The advantage of this is that the Supreme Court will not get the opportunity to overrule Roe versus Wade. There is an obvious downside to this idea, and what happens with two women with highly restrictive states that need abortions. One possibility is we create, as we have done before the slavery years, an underground railroad. That is, instead of spending all the time and money on litigation, various donors, corporate and individuals create a huge fund that will provide transportation, health care, et cetera, to states that allow abortions. In other words, California, New York, all of the New England and Colorado, an imperfect solution, but worth giving some thought to. Hey, Carl and I have corresponded and disagreed on many things. That ain't going to work. Too late now.
But I mean, you know, the Underground Railroad, in essence, is what's going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, it's already in the works.
Sure.
So and I
that's
completely
when
agree with that.
And that's when women die. And that's when,
Yeah, but the other part of this, though, is that this bill was purposely designed to overturn Roe v. Wade, which means that what they're doing is they're creating a vessel for the Supreme Court to start to overturn, time after time, established American laws. And I go back to this, is that this isn't just about abortion. This is about giving the courts the fundamental ability to reshape what they don't like about our civil society in ways that was never intended by the creators. So if you don't like talk about abortion, I understand, but look at it from the constitutional issue, which is a huge threat to the future of our republic.
All right.
One more letter.
Yes.
And Brenda, dear panel, denial of choice by women is enslavement. And that's from Brenda.
All right. Final topic here in the last 3 minutes. So I'll pull the pin on the grenade and we'll talk about that. But there is the immigration plan that is expected to be announced today by the president. What do we expect from that?
We expect that it's just as divisive and polarizing as this whole question with Alabama, because it doesn't discuss the current undocumented population in this country, nor does it address any regulation related to DACA, so the young people that were brought to the United States by their parents and have, you know, become in essence de facto citizens in this country. In addition to that, it talks about bringing in a different kind of immigrant, namely highly educated, which will present a ferocious challenge to some of the communities that are opposed to immigration in general. Yet here they will bring in computer scientists, software engineers, and it will challenge those kinds of communities that imagined a different kind of restriction to immigration. So it'll be highly divisive, and all Democrats will be opposed, and even some Republicans will be opposed.
Yeah, my understanding is it's going to be dead on arrival, that it's going nowhere, that it's just campaign fodder for 2020. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a term that's being bandied about with this policy called patriotic assimilation, which absolutely scares the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, who I loved dearly, is from Calabria. She came off over on the boat, was illiterate, and is one of the wisest women that I've ever met. And given where Trump and Stephen Miller's policies are, is that she wouldn't be allowed into this country right now. I would ask everybody at home who's listening to this and thinking about the issue of immigration to go back and look at their own families and see who in their family line came over here and how many of them were doctors or computer engineers. What happened to this being the land of opportunity and hope and growth. If we are not the beacon of hope that we have been, then the world is a much dimmer place, and this country's future is a much dimmer place. Final thought is that if you look at birth rates, we need immigration because there isn't going to be enough population to do what we want to do to continue to be the wonderful nation that we are.
Yeah, that whole idea of patriotic assimilation is scary because it essentially wants you to discard your cultural and anything you bring from your other country. So we're not going to be a great melting pot. We're not going to have the wonderful influences of other countries brought here because when you come walk in the door, they want you to become a white middle-class American and forget your previous language, forget your previous customs.
We're out of time. My thanks to everybody. Thank you all, panel, for being with us. Last call on the blanket and the, what were you going to say, huh?
You know, I was going to say, yes, you're right, Joe. Last call.
Last call, 1-800-323-9262, the blanket, the two tumblers, and a $100 pledge, all for the lockbox. The fund drive begins June 3rd, and we need to get half of the $1 million in the lockbox before we start at that time. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're marching toward. We need your help. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262.